Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and redeemer. I'd like to draw your attention to the screen and an image that I want you to see as part of today's service. This is a picture called The Triumph of Titus. Now, Titus was the son of the Emperor Vespasian, and Vespasian himself was the general whom the Emperor Nero sent to Judea to crush the Jewish revolt that broke out in the year 67. And Vespasian was busily going about engaging the Jewish rebels in battle and had just captured the key stronghold of Jepata when the series of civil wars that ended the reign of Nero broke out. And in a year called the Year of Four Emperors, there were a series of short-lived usurpers until eventually Vespasian himself was proclaimed emperor by the army, went to Rome, defeated his rivals, and became the new emperor. And he left his son Titus behind him to finish the war against the Jewish rebels, which Titus proceeded to do by besieging the city of Jerusalem, capturing and leveling it to the ground. Having been victorious, Titus then returned to Rome and was awarded by his father Vespasian with what is called, or was called, a triumph. Now, by law, no Roman general could enter the city of Rome with his army, but a triumph was a special dispensation wherein the general who had conquered a great enemy of the people was allowed to parade through the city at the head of his army. And this picture depicts Titus's triumph at its peak, having paraded through the city, showing both the spoils of war that he had captured as well as numerous prisoners. The procession has just started the walking to up what a street called the Via Sacra, which led to the Temple of Jupiter. And their various sacrifices, you can see there are bulls there being led, would have been performed, and praise given to the Roman gods, and particularly the chief Roman god, Jupiter, for the victory which Titus had won. And you can see at the right of the picture there are some of the spoils from the temple, like the 8-stick candle there that is being carried, and that was part of the triumphal procession. And if you look over to the left of the picture, you can see just there a figure in green clothing, and that person has a chain around their neck, and that's one of the Jewish prisoners of war who had been captured and who were paraded through the city as part of the triumph. And there being, as the rest of the procession goes up to the Temple of Jupiter, they're being led off to be executed in various brutal ways. So the triumph of Titus is a parade through the city of Rome celebrating the military might of the Roman Empire, of its ability to crush anyone who dares defy the power of the emperor and to mete out suitably brutal punishments upon anyone unfortunate enough to fall into the hands of the Romans. That's one type of parade. In today's reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, we have another very different type of parade of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And it's interesting that the passage is titled Jesus' Triumphal Entry into Jerusalem, because in point of fact, his entry into Jerusalem does not represent that triumph in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it is a kind of mirror image of that triumph, whereas that triumph represented power and oppression and brutality. Jesus' own triumph represented self-giving and love and sacrifice. Now, we don't actually know how Jesus entered Jerusalem. We don't actually know if it took place in the terms described in any of the gospel accounts. But it is interesting to compare and contrast what the gospel accounts of Jesus' entry say relative to an image like the triumph of Titus. For starters, Jesus enters variously on a colt or on a donkey. Now, no Roman general celebrating a triumph would have done that. They would have stood in a golden chariot drawn by pure white horses. And the importance of that image is this. Whenever the Romans crushed a rebellion, if they managed to capture the leader of that rebellion, quite often what they would do is they would parade that defeated leader sitting on a donkey or a horse and often facing backwards. And that was to mock their pretensions to power. So Jesus riding on a horse is a symbol not of triumph, but of humility. Jesus is entering the city in a way no triumphant Roman general would do. He is entering the city in a way that declares his humility, because on the back of a donkey or a colt, he's just another person. He's nobody special, nobody important. He's just another wayfarer. Likewise, when we have the image of people spreading their coats on the ground or spreading palm leaves on the ground, we have a contrast with the triumph. Because, of course, in Rome, as the procession was winding its way through the streets, people would have been throwing flowers and whatnot onto the streets. But the triumphant general would also have had a garland of olive leaves held over their head by a slave. And that garland represented victory. It represented the victorious force of arms over another people. And of course, we know that Jesus entering Jerusalem, he doesn't have a crown of olive leaves on his head. He doesn't have the victor's crown, as it were. But he will very shortly be wearing a different crown, a crown of thorns, a symbol of humiliation and defeat, of powerlessness and not of power. So already in those symbols in the text, we have a powerful contrast being drawn between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and what it means, and the triumph of Titus and what it means. The triumph of Titus represents the power of death, of destruction, of oppressive rule. The entry of Jesus into Jerusalem represents the power of powerlessness, of love, and of self-giving. Because there's one image in which the entry into Jerusalem and the triumph of Titus both share. And that is the fickleness of the crowd. Because we know that in a week's time, the very people who are throwing their cloaks and their palms on the ground in front of Jesus are going to be saying, "Crucify him. Free Barabbas, a real criminal, and crucify him." And every Roman emperor was aware of the power of the mob, of the fickleness of political sentiment in the population. And that's why the Roman emperors spent a good deal of time and money keeping the mob satisfied through games in the Circus Maximus and in the Colosseum, through the corn dole, through the daily bread supply, through various other measures. Because the mob that rained flowers on a triumphant emperor could be the same mob that stormed the palaces and ended their reign. So we have a distinct contrast and some areas of common ground between these two events, the triumph of Titus and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. But practically, what does that mean for us today? Firstly, what it means is a caution against churches dressing themselves in the accoutrements of power, and particularly of the power of the state. I happen to be watching on the TV a news report about an event in America. And one of the participants in this news report was the pastor of a church calling itself the Patriot Church. Now, when any church, in my mind at least, calls itself the Patriot Church, then it is not emphasizing Christ. It is aligning itself with the powers of the state, and in particular of jingoistic nationalism. And today's reading and the contrast we find between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and the triumph of Titus is to remind us, as people of faith, never to appeal to or look to the power of the state to sustain us or legitimize us. Because once we do that, then we are on the road to becoming something other than church. But there is also another meaning in today's reading and in the contrast of these two images. And that is to remind us of what our purpose is. Not to oppress, not to control, not to manage or govern others, but to bring life, to bring light, to bring hope, to bring meaning, to bring purpose, to bring liberation. And all of those things make us vulnerable. They make us vulnerable to the preferences of the state. They make us vulnerable to the assumptions of our culture. They make us vulnerable to the preferences and inclinations of the community around us. And that's the point. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem reminds us that we are not here to be powerful, but to be powerless. And in that powerlessness, to give voice to the love that cannot be quenched or defeated. Not by force of arms, not by weight of cultural expectation, not by social opprobrium or disapproval. We are here to enter the city, to speak to the world, not for our own gain, but in order to give voice to the word of love that calls out to the whole world and which declares that God loves each and every one of us and seeks not power or control over our lives, but relationship instead. And in that relationship, we find hope, we find liberation, and we find the peace that passes all understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.